It is so good to be together. It is really a privilege for us to worship together and fellowship together, and we should not take that for granted. It's easy to take for granted, but we are blessed to be able to do that. So this is the last week of our message series that we've been talking about for the last, this will be week 7, the I Am Statements of Jesus. And as I was praying about the message this week and as I've been preparing, I have a special sense that God really wants to use this to help you. And I should have that sense every week that my messages, that the messages that are spoken here would do that. But there is a special sense that if you would just listen, if you would just open your mind and open your heart to receive, that something amazing could happen as a result of our gathering here today because of the power of the Word of God. All right, so tune in. Here we go. The I Am statements of Jesus, there's 7 of them. They all appear in the Gospel of John. And when Jesus says, I am, this is just a reminder. When Jesus says, I am, the 2 Greek words in the New Testament are ego eme, and it's actually like Jesus repeating himself. They both mean I am. And so it's like he's saying, I am, even I am. And when he says that, every statement that he makes that uses that phrase, people, his listeners, the Jewish listeners, would automatically, in their minds, go back to Moses' experience in the burning bush, where when Moses says, who should I say sent me? What is your name? And God says, I am. And so they would right away, it would either inspire them or irritate them that Jesus was saying, I am. All right, so let's just as a reminder, let's go back and look at the 7 very briefly. Here's the first one in John 6. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So even as natural bread sustains our physical life, Jesus Christ sustains our spiritual life himself. And then in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. To a world that's lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as our guide. He is our light. And then in John chapter 10, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus describes himself here as the exclusive way to God. So the invitation is exclusive, but it's also inclusive because it's for everybody, for whosoever will can come. Jesus is the door. On Easter weekend, we hit this one in John chapter 11, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, try to contain your excitement, okay? But death is not the end of the story for a follower of Christ. That is so exciting. Death is not the final word for those that follow Jesus. And then John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Jesus, as the good shepherd, is committed to caring for us and watching over us as his sheep. And then last week, Pastor Fred talked about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the source of all the truth and knowledge about God. Remember, Jesus said, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. When you're hearing me, you're hearing the Father's word. He is the exact representation of God. He is God in the flesh as he walked on earth. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. So today's message comes from John 15, and it's, I am the vine. So before we get there, I just have a question, because this will help you sort of relate. It's a metaphor. Jesus was a master at using metaphors of things that were common in his day. So maybe some of you are gardeners. Any grapevine growers here? We had one in the Saturday night service. Like, there's a grapevine grower. How about fruit trees? You have a fruit tree, apple trees, yeah. Don't know if you take care of them or not, but you might have an apple tree. How about just a gardener? You grow a garden. Yep, I try. So the comedian Jerry Seinfeld complained that he didn't have a green thumb. I don't know if you have a green thumb or not, but here's a phrase that he said that made me chuckle. He said, I have no plants in my house. They won't live for me. Some of them don't even wait to die. They commit suicide. Another comedian said, people are like potatoes. Some people never seem motivated to participate. They're just content to watch others. They're called spectators. Oh, don't worry, they get better. Some are always looking to cause problems. They really get under your skin. They're called agitators. There are those who are always saying they will, but somehow they never get around to doing it. We call them hesitators. Grin or groan, I know. Some folks spend a lot of time just sitting and looking at their garden. We call them meditators. Let's meditate on John 15. Okay, John 15, verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. In your Bible, they would be in red probably. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, I want you to put a pin in that. There's one more verse we're going to look at, but I want you to stop there for a second because this is a good place for a lesson. And that is we have to take scripture verses in context. And this is one verse that could be taken out of context. If you take this verse all by itself and you would say, Jesus said that we could ask for whatever we wish, and as long as we're a Jesus follower, we'll get what we want. That's what he said. But that's not what this means. Because in context, it's in the context of abiding in the vine and bearing fruit for God. That's the verses before. The context is look at the verses before and then look at the verse after. And so what Jesus is really saying here is, if you want to abide in me, if you want to bear fruit in me, ask whatever you will and I'll give it to you. As it relates to fruit bearing, as it relates to following God, if you have a need in following God or bearing fruit for God, ask me and I'll meet your need. Because look at what verse 8 says. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, as we look at these first 8 verses in John 15, two necessities stick out to me. And they're very simple. Okay, you don't have to even be too smart to catch on to this message today. There's two necessities. One is necessary connection, and the other one is necessary disconnection. All right, so let's talk about necessary connection. When we talk about necessary connection, we're talking about being connected to Jesus. It's remaining, it's abiding. And here's what's important. Remaining is active, not passive. So when you look at this word in the Greek language for remaining, sometimes it's translated abiding. The word is a verb. If you remember your English from school, verbs are action words. So this is not a passive word. And Jesus uses this word 11 times in just a few verses in John 15. So pay attention. Look at how many times it appears just in two verses. We just read them, John 15, 4 and 5. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what Jesus is saying here is this connectedness to me, this remaining or abiding in me, is not natural. It's not automatic. It's not going to happen passively. It's going to happen actively. You need to actively pursue connection with Jesus. So it's not like, okay, I come to Christ, I give my life to Christ, and now automatically I stay attached to the vine. No, it's active. It requires awareness. It requires attention and intention. It requires motion. It's an action word. It requires progress, growth, movement, interaction, ongoing relational activity between you and Jesus. That's what remaining means. It's how you stay connected. Without this action in your life, your relationship with God through Christ will fade. It will falter. It will fail. It will wither. It will dry up. It will die without activity. So, staying with the metaphor of growing things, let me show you a picture of a petunia. I love petunia plants because they're so beautiful and they give flowers all summer long if you pay attention to them. We like to hang them on our, we have a little shepherd's hook in front of our house, and so we hang them in a pot, the petunias. But petunias, by their very nature, have a heavy rooted system, and they're not in a lot of dirt in a pot, so you have to give them a lot of water. And if you don't give them a lot of water, you know what happens? They, like, get brown, and they suffer, and they struggle. And not only do you have to give them water, I put a little Miracle-Gro in there because that kind of helps, a little nutrition. And then petunias, the flowers are beautiful for a little while, but they begin to sort of, you know, wilt, and then eventually they turn brown, and they're called deadheads, and you have to pull the deadhead off in order for another flower to come out. So they require some attention, right? But they're beautiful as long as you pay attention to them. So here's the deal, as I can relate this to your spiritual life, to your connectedness to Jesus. It has to be active. It requires some attention. You got to water it. You got to feed it. There's going to be some pruning involved, and we'll talk about that in a second. Now, here's the deal. Here's how you pay attention to your relationship with Christ, and I'm going to tell you this even though you know it, but I'm asking right now that you would hear it in a new way, in a fresh way. Otherwise, it's the Charlie Brown syndrome. It's wah, 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 wah. Pastor's going to tell me I have to pray more. I have to read my Bible more. Wah, 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 wah. But there's no other way around it. This is how you feed your spiritual life. You have to spend time with God personally. You pray personally. You worship personally. Listen, it helps to gather with God's people. That'll help you grow. But that can't be the only connection. If you're counting on 1 hour a week to be your spiritual food, you're going to dry up and wither spiritually. Okay, you have to be actively connecting with God. And it happens through time with the scriptures, time with personal prayer and worship, time with God's people. If you really want to grow, get involved in a small group. Come on Wednesday night. We've got some great life groups. We've got a prayer group on Wednesday nights. This is how you can get to know. It's a small group. You can get to know other people and learn to pray to God together. It's a wonderful way to grow spiritually. It's how you can feed your spirit, your connectedness to Jesus. Get involved in ministry. I mean, we have ministry opportunities. We're looking for help. You want to grow spiritually? Get involved. It's one of the ways you feed your connection. It's active and not passive. Now, without Jesus, you can't do it. Verse 5 in John 15 tells us that. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But can I sow a little hope into your soul? That's the end of verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The beginning of verse 5 goes like this. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You will. Guess what? A healthy apple branch that's connected to the apple trunk that's being well cared for and pruned, guess what kind of fruit it's going to grow? Not going to grow oranges. It's going to grow apples because it's well connected. Stay well connected to Jesus and you will bear fruit. So connected to Jesus, that's necessary connection. Here's the next one, connected to one another. Our connection to Jesus is what connects us to one another. So using the metaphor of, say, a fruit tree, if we're all connected to the trunk, if you're a branch connected to the same trunk, by virtue of being connected to that same trunk, you're connected to each other. So because I'm connected to Jesus and you're connected to Jesus, it connects us to one another, like it or not. Okay? So how do we feed that? How do we keep that connectedness? Well, it goes right back to the first point, which is the necessary connection to Jesus. If you want to have a healthy relationship with God's people, here's the first telling point, whether you will or not. It's your relationship with God. So I like to use the cross to illustrate that. You've got your vertical connection to the Father through Jesus. If that's healthy and thriving, then your horizontal connections are going to go better. They'll be healthy and thriving. So one connects to the other. If you want to have good connections with God's people, then have a good, strong, thriving connection with the Father through Jesus Christ. John, the same author, in his letter, 1 John 1:7, said it this way, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Can I tell you what? That's what we really have in common. We're all sinners saved by grace. And if we stay connected to Christ, if we walk in the light of Jesus, if you're walking in the light of Jesus and I'm walking in the light of Jesus, then we have fellowship together. We're connected to one another. Now, this is not passive. This doesn't happen automatically or naturally. This is also active. You have to make efforts to stay in healthy relationship with the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:3, Paul said, "Make every effort," if I were underlining, I'd underline that word, "make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So in other words, we pursue unity. We pursue connection with one another. We don't allow tension or conflict to disrupt our fellowship with other members of the body of Christ. And can I tell you what? There will be tension and there will be conflict. We're all so different. I mean, I wish you were all like me, but I know you're not. We're all so different, and so we see things differently. We think about things differently. We have different backgrounds, different experiences. And the enemy of our soul is going to want to use those differences to cause us to have tension and strife and conflict. And so we have to be pursuing. We have to make efforts to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The good news is God wants to help you. And we'll get to that before we end things up. So we have these necessary connections, connected to Jesus, connected to one another. Let's talk a little bit about necessary disconnection. Before we get there, it reminded me as I was thinking about disconnecting from things, because some things are obvious that we need to disconnect. We need to have pruned out of our lives. You know, those are the bad things, the wrong things. You know they're bad. You know they're wrong. You know they're disrupting your relationship with Jesus, so you got to get them out. But then there's some things, too, that are just clutter, and, you know, they distract us from our relationship with Jesus. And it reminded me of pruning and how we have to get things out of our life, just like Jesus talks about pruning a tree. Now, knowing that I was going to be talking about this, you know, I am statement, I am the vine, Vicki and I arranged a research trip out to Oregon last week because they have a lot of fruit trees out there. Most of you know I'm just kidding. We went on vacation. But as we were standing in the backyard of our bed and breakfast, our first stop was at a bed and breakfast, we noticed this tree. There I am standing next to it on the left. It happens to be a pear tree. And Vicki and I both, or I think I thought about it, and then Vicki affirmed it, like, hey, I'm talking about, you know, the vine and the branches next weekend when I get back. And this fits just like perfectly. Because where we were in Oregon, there were lots of fruit trees. I mean, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of fruit trees. And that happens to be a pear tree I'm standing next to. Without the flowers or without the leaves on there, that thing looks like a train wreck. It looks dead. It looks unhealthy. But it's actually been pruned so well that it will bear a lot of pears this coming year. The middle picture there is, you know, at first glance, it looks like a field of like bushes or shrubs, but I'm very high up and I'm very far away, and those are actually fruit trees in that middle picture. Those are fruit, that's a field. There are hundreds of fruit trees, probably thousands within just a few square miles of where we were staying at the base of Mount Hood. And the guy that was the host of our bed and breakfast said something that really struck both Vicki and me at the same time. He said, every fruit tree has to be pruned every year. Every fruit tree has to be pruned every year. That's crazy. There's so many fruit trees. But you know there's a spiritual application there? Every tree has to be pruned every year. Every one of us has to have some disconnection in our life every year. And we ought to examine our lives. We ought to think about those things that need to be pruned. Why is disconnection or pruning so important? Here's the first reason. We often look to the wrong places to find meaning and purpose in life. Let's admit it, we do. That's our natural tendency as human beings. I like alliteration. I like putting words together that all start with the same letter. It helps me remember. Sometimes we look to people, possessions, power, position, or poison to find our meaning or purpose in life. And ultimately, I can tell you, you will not find your meaning and purpose in life in people. But we can look to other people. It could be that boyfriend or that girlfriend, that friend at school, that friend at work. It could be your boss. It could be a politician. I don't know. Probably not. Could be your pastor. And I can't tell you what. Ultimately, you're not going to find your meaning, your purpose, your satisfaction, your fruitfulness in a person. How about a possession? If I could just get that house, or that cabin, or that car, or that truck, or that 16-foot Lund with a 200-horse Mercury and a 40-horse kicker and a GPS-guided trolling motor on the front. If I could just get that, I'll be happy. Or if I could just get that job, that position, that promotion, that recognition, I'd find purpose and fruitfulness in my life. Or how about poison? Sadly, some people look to a bottle or to pills or to drugs for fulfillment or for escape. Risky, unhelpful, even harmful behaviors and relationships rob us of our spiritual fruit and our growth in Christ. There needs to be disconnection. In Galatians 5, we find the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And just prior to that list, Paul gives us the key to bearing much fruit. Now, this is going to help some of you. This might be worth the ticket into church today. By the way, the price is going up next week. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18. Listen to what Paul says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The King James or New King James says, you'll not gratify the lust of the flesh. And I don't want to shock you, and I don't think I will shock you, but especially for men, this is a struggle, the lust of the flesh. And Paul says, I've got a key for you here. If you'll just connect to the Holy Spirit, if you'll just make God's Spirit the center of your life, if you make the Spirit of God your holy obsession, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Because that won't be the center of your life. That's just so awesome. Paul goes on to say, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you're not required to follow the flesh. It's not a rule for you. In Galatians 5:25, Paul says it this way. This is after the fruit of the Spirit list. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know what it means to keep in step? It means to be nearby, to be following, to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. And if you're doing that, the Spirit is going to empower you to make those necessary disconnections, those things in your life that you know are bad, you know they're wrong. But I'm telling you right now, with God's help, you can be pruned. He wants to. He wants to help you. Stay in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit. Necessary disconnection. So, we know the wrong things should be disconnected or pruned. But here's the next point. Even things we view as good and positive can become a liability or a distraction. So even branches that do bear fruit sometimes need to be removed. John 15:2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So this is what I was talking about before. things that are just kind of clutter or take up space or draw your attention away from that which is truly important. A few years ago on Netflix, a new show came out. And it was immediately like a hit. Maybe you've heard of it. The lady's name was Marie Kondo, and she had a show called Tidying Up, right? And it was to get the clutter out of your life. She had this little catchphrase that she used to say, which was, clear out the clutter and choose joy. And she was helping people, and people were responding. Those extra things that are just taking up space in your life, and they're just, unnecessary, get them out. Purging. It became a trend in homes around the country because of this show. As people were finding areas of excess and they were intentionally limiting themselves. Now, with the metaphor of the vine, this would be considered pruning. Here's a question. How can you prune your life to bring more focus and more clarity into your spiritual development with Jesus? Is there clutter in your life? Are there things that are kind of unnecessary? Things that take up extra time or attention or focus for you that you could sort of just prune out, get rid of? At least, if not eliminate, limit them. How about, now not necessarily bad things, how about hobbies, entertainment, social media, sports, connecting with friends, online time? So, again, these things aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. But as it relates to your spiritual development, your connectedness to Jesus, maybe they need to be pruned out a bit. Maybe they need to be limited. On our way home from Oregon, I forgot to really look close at the tickets they gave us, and Vicky's and my seat were not together. She was actually in front of me. And so I was sitting next to a sweet young lady. We didn't say one word to each other. She came on the plane with earbuds in both of her ears. And that's fine. Didn't necessarily feel like I had to have a conversation with somebody. It was a long flight. Kind of was trying to just rest and whatever. But I couldn't help. And I wasn't being snoopy, I promise. I wasn't trying to look over. She had her phone there, and she was connected to the internet on the airplane. And she had her phone there. And I don't know if she was on, because I don't really get these things, okay? I'll just tell you. But she was either on TikTok or Instagram, and she was following whoever she follows, and there were little video clips. And I'm not kidding you, she was swiping through the clip. So I could see, one person was exercising, another person was dancing, somebody else was, talking. And I'm not exaggerating. She was looking at each video for about 2 seconds before she'd go to the next one. What in the world? How can you even tell what's going on? Whew, 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 swiping to the next video. She did that for a really, really long time. And then she'd put it down for a while, and then she'd pick it up, and pretty soon she was doing it again. That's like a time sucker. Okay? Now, on an airplane, when you've got a 3-hour flight, that's fine. But you know that that can translate into other parts of your life where it becomes wasting time? How about just the streaming platforms that we subscribe to? I subscribe to two, Netflix and Prime, okay? And I'm just going to be transparent with you. Even my wife and I spend a lot of time watching that stuff. We like to watch The Amazing Race, which is on Amazon Prime. Do you know that they have 29 seasons of The Amazing Race on Amazon Prime? Now, I'm going to make a confession of you. Please don't think less of me. But in between the darkness of winter up until today, Vicky and I have watched all 29 seasons of The Amazing Race. Please don't clap. I'm not really proud of that. I use it as an illustration. We'll sit down and, maybe while we're eating or something, and the first one goes by, and they're not quite an hour because they don't have commercials, so 45 minutes. And then we'll be like, let's watch the next one. And then you get to that, and then the third one comes on. Well, let's just watch the preview. Then pretty soon we're sucked into it. And I'm just telling you, nowadays it's really easy to waste time. Please don't tell me that you don't have time for personal prayer and worship. Please don't tell me you don't have time for an intentional, strategic, consistent interaction with the Scripture. Please don't tell me you don't have time to be involved in church. Sometimes we prune things out of our lives, even good things, even things that are not that harmful. Here's a question. What gets the most attention and captures the most affection in your life? What is it? Our goal in life as a Christ follower, okay, I'm talking to those that have given their life to Jesus. Our goal in life is not to be entertained. It's not even to be comfortable. It's to be fruitful. Jesus said, you must remain in me and you must bear fruit or you'll be cut off and you become firewood. Those parts of your life anyway. Okay, so here we're going to bring it to a landing. How do I know if I'm bearing fruit, Pastor? How do I judge my life to see how I'm doing? Well, let's look at that as we bring this thing in for a landing. And because I like alliteration, I use three C's to help me know whether I'm bearing fruit. I'm just going to invite you all to be fruit judges right now, and I don't want you to judge my fruit. I want you to judge your fruit, okay? So I want you to think about your life as we look at these lists, and there's three C's: character, conduct, and converts. All right? Character, conduct, and converts. So here's the first one. Developing Christian character is fruit. Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit in nine terms in the book of Galatians. You know these verses. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So let me ask you right now to pause and to look at this list and to evaluate your life, and to say, how is it going? Now, they're the fruit of the Spirit, so you have to be tapped into the Holy Spirit. They're by the Spirit. Is there lovingness in your life? Is there joy? Is there peace? Are you a patient person? Is there kindness and goodness? Would you describe your life as a life of faithfulness? How about gentleness and self-control? These are fruit. If you're connected to Christ through the power of the Spirit, these should be coming out of your life. Developing Christian character is fruit. Here's the next one. Our right conduct and resulting good works produce fruit. Here's another familiar set of verses, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. Now Paul says, you're forgiven not because of what you do. You're forgiven because of what Christ has done. It's by grace, through faith. That's where you find your forgiveness. It's not works. However, there is works. There are works in your life. Because in the very next verse, he says that for we are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So good works don't save you. That's not how you find forgiveness, but they should be a natural result of your salvation. So if you're a fruit inspector looking at your life, how are your good works? Are there good works in your life? Are you loving others? Are you serving others? Are you investing your time, your treasure, your talent to the benefit of the kingdom of God? To the gospel of Christ. Our right conduct and resulting good works produce fruit. Here's the last one. And this is the converts. It's those who come to Christ through our witness, our fruit. And I would say more than converts, I would use also the word disciples, because Jesus didn't ask just for converts. He said, go and make disciples. And those are people that are following Jesus and growing in Jesus. Around here at Journey, we like to talk about taking steps in our spiritual journey. That's our mission statement that you see upon that header beam when you walk into the church. Helping each other take the next step on our journey with Christ. And so here's the question as far as bearing fruit. Do you live your life in such a way that it inspires others, encourages others, motivates others to take a spiritual step in a positive direction, to come to know Christ, to come to serve Christ, to come to follow Christ. Is your life influencing others for Jesus? That would be fruit. Paul longed to go to Rome to have some fruit from his ministry there. Romans 1:13. He said, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. So has your life caused other people to be influenced for the sake of the gospel? One pastor put it this way: fruit is evident in the way that you treat people. Fruit is evident in how you spend your time. Fruit is evident in how you spend your money. And let me just really end this thing on a positive note. You can do this. You can do this. You can make the necessary connections with Jesus, because it's not just in him. It's through him and by him. He wants to help you. God wants to give you every resource you need to succeed. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you make that connection, or you make that disconnection that needs to be made in your life. So as the worship team comes back, we have one more song to sing. Just one more scripture verse we're going to put on the screen. And as I was looking at this verse last week, it's like it just came alive to me, and it just encouraged me so much. So I hope it does this before you walk out of here today, because I'm telling you, this is the power you need. This is where you find God's help. It's in Christ that you find God's help, and he wants to, and he is, by faith, believe it. He is building you up as a follower in him. He wants to do it. So check it out. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Paul said this: consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You are. If you've made a commitment to Christ, this describes you. How does it happen? You're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. There's people that have gone before you, and they've succeeded in following Christ. With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. That's the strength. That's where a foundation finds its strength, is in the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the rock we stand on. He's where we do our building. In him, the whole building is joined together. Just get a picture in your mind, will you? It rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Folks, that's together. In him, together, we're becoming a dwelling. He's building us to become a dwelling where he lives, God lives in this dwelling place by his Spirit. I believe it by faith. God wants to help us. So as we close in prayer today, I just want you in your mind to think about where you most need the help of God, whether it's that necessary connection. I mean, maybe your relationship with Jesus has just been sort of dry or distant, and you just really need to connect. God wants to help you do that. Let's pray today that he would help you. Maybe it's that necessary disconnection. Maybe there's something in your life that's wrong. Maybe it's been wrong for a long time. Can I tell you what? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify your sinful nature. That's what the Bible says. God wants to help you. Maybe it's just clutter or distraction, things that aren't necessarily bad, but there needs to be some pruning. If that's it, ask God to help you. All right, so let's pray together. He wants to help you. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your willingness, Lord, to help us. Help us, Jesus, to find that active, fruitful, genuine, meaningful connection with you. Help us to do that, Jesus. I don't know, change our desires. Give us inspiration and motivation to find those places of connection with you that are real, that will help our relationship with you grow and even thrive. Lord, for those that need to make disconnection, that need pruning in their lives, God, help us. I pray the things that we follow that are unhelpful, even sinful, that they would become distasteful to us. God, that we would walk away from them, that your Spirit would empower us to leave them, God, to go in a different direction, God. Help us. Maybe it's some stuff that just is cluttering up our lives and taking up a lot of our time, and we just need to prune them out and make more room for you. Will you show us, God? Will you help us? Will you strengthen us? Will you deliver us? Listen, God, we need more than just good information. We need transformation in our lives, and we're so dependent upon you. Thank you for being so dependable. Thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. All right. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Go out and make God look good with your life. Will you do that? Thanks for being here.